This is True News, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God. Saudi King Abdulaziz's grandson sharply rebuked President Joe Biden for threatening to retaliate against OPEC oil production cuts. He reminded President Biden that Saudi Arabia was formed through jihad and martyrdom. It appears that President Biden is dangerously close to losing Saudi Arabia as a U.S. ally. Doc Burkhardt and I have the most comprehensive report anywhere on today's developments in World War III. And so we're going to start with this stunning, really surprising, sharp rebuke from a Saudi official. And grandson of the king.
I think it just reveals a little bit about just how high the tensions are now between the United States and Saudi Arabia. We'll share this video here in just a few moments, but this is from Middle East Eye. The cousin of Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has issued a violent threat against the West amid souring relations over a decision by OPEC Plus to cut oil production. In a message to the West, Saud al-Sha'alan is seen in a video circulating on social media saying, "Anybody who challenges the existence of this kingdom, we are all projects of jihad and martyrdom." The prince is heard issuing his warning in English and French. Saud al-Sha'alan is a tribal leader and the grandson of King Abdulaziz, the founder of Saudi Arabia, according to Saudi human rights advocate Abdullah Al-Awad. Now, here's the tweet that kind of started things off earlier today. This was reported, and then the video was released later. Prince Saud al-Sha'alan, in response to the Democrats' criticism of the Saudi government, as we said to the West, "Anyone who challenges the existence of the Saudi kingdom, we are the projects, or we are the product of jihad and martyrdom. Do you still wonder where terrorism comes from?" Of course, this tweet here is, watching Saudi Arabia in a negative light. We've got that video, Rick, where the grandson of King Abdulaziz, and you're going to see the passion of where he's at on this. And I'm not sure what event that he was at where this was made, but it was a very stern rebuke, as you said in the opening. So let's watch this, and you're going to see the grandson of King Abdulaziz.
It starts in Arabic, and right, then he switches to English.
Yes, and finishes in French. So watch this.
ردنا على الغرب نفس الكلام هذا نعيده بالإنجليزية. Anybody that challenges the existence of this country and this kingdom, all of us, we are projects of jihad
and martyrdom.
That's my message to anybody that thinks that he can threaten us. On dit en français, belle française, celui qui challenge l'Arabie Saoudite, que ce soit le royaume ou le peuple, nous sommes un projet de martyr pour la patrie et pour Dieu.
Well, Tuck, this rebuke of Joe Biden, that's what it is. It's a rebuke of President Joe Biden. You have the grandson of the king of Saudi Arabia, the founder of Saudi Arabia, saying, let me remind you, Joe Biden, even though he didn't say Joe Biden's name, he's directing this to Joe Biden and Anthony Blinken and those in the Biden administration. He's saying, let me remind you who we are. And you continue to threaten us, and we're going to show you, we're going to demonstrate to you who we are. It is quite shocking. It's stunning. What is shocking to me, Doc, is that Joe Biden has destroyed America's relationship with Saudi Arabia in less than 2 years. And it's really gone in a rapid decline in, I guess, the last 3 months.
Yes.
I don't see it coming back now. I think the Saudis are going to Russia. They're switching over to Russia and China. You're going to see Saudi Arabia in this new BRICS alliance.
I believe that.
The petrodollar is over. You got to wrap your mind around this. The petrodollar is over, and get ready for this. The CBDC, that's coming. When the petrodollar, and this may be, Doc, why they're doing this. When I say why, who's doing it? The Biden administration and the Federal Reserve may be doing this on purpose, that they're forcing the Saudis to destroy the petrodollar. Because the Federal Reserve is done with the petrodollar. This may not be the work of foreign policy incompetence. This may be the strategy of the Federal Reserve banksters. What is a CBDC? Central Bank Digital Coin.
So you're thinking that this is a plan, this is on purpose to knock it out?
I'm saying it's possible, because either you've got to be so incredibly inept and stupid and a buffoon to be in the White House and to anger Saudi Arabia, make them so angry that they rip up Henry Kissinger's agreement from 1973.
Right.
Okay, the petrodollar is done, finished. We will rip it up. We're fed up with you. We're gone. Either you got to be incredibly inept, just buffoons, or you have a plan, you have a strategy. You want to get rid of the petrodollar and replace it with the central bank digital coin, the CBDC. I lean towards that one. Which means the U.S. dollar goes away.
Wow, that's big, Greg.
Very soon, Doc. Very soon. Like possibly in the next 6 months. Goodbye, U.S. dollar. We go cashless.
Well, we know that's their goal.
Yes,
that's
but
the end goal.
But this may happen very soon because the petrodollar will die. And the current petrodollar, the U.S. dollar, as it currently exists, the inflation will be so great that it'll be worthless. They'll have to introduce a new coin, a new currency, and they'll roll out a digital. I mean, you think the paper money's worthless? Wait till you get an invisible coin.
True fiat.
Yeah, true. Oh, the ultimate fiat. It's invisible. At least with the current fiat money, you actually have a piece of paper. They're going to go to the next level. There. It's air. That's your money. Air. Get ready for it. This insulting and angering of Saudi Arabia is, to me, unbelievable that this is taking place.
And they continue to ramp up on it. We have this report from NBC News. Biden administration officials considering trying to discourage American companies from expanding business ties with Saudi Arabia. And so Biden administration officials are considering trying to discourage companies from setting up business in Saudi Arabia as part of a U.S. response to a recent Saudi-led push by oil-producing countries to cut global production, said three current and former U.S. officials familiar with the discussions. The administration also will not send any U.S. official to Saudi Arabia's annual Future Investment Initiative conference in Riyadh next week, officials said, although a senior administration official said the determination was made before the OPEC Plus alliance announced their October 5th that it would cut oil production by 2 million barrels a day.
Okay, let's just stop there and we'll come back to the camera. So that conference, Doc, the theme is the new global order.
Yes.
They call this conference Davos in the Desert.
Right.
So this is the Saudi Arabian version of Davos. To my knowledge, Klaus Schwab doesn't have anything to do with this. This is totally an Arab conference, but the nickname is Davos in the Desert.
It's a high-profile meeting of world leaders, economic advisors, mm-hmm. corporate leaders, much like we see at the World Economic Forum, but Saudis and their partners tend to focus more on business.
Yeah. Jamie Dimon is a speaker. I'm trying to remember some of the high-profile American business leaders who are going to be there.
Yeah, Barclays is a sponsor. BNY Mellon is a sponsor.
I think Goldman Sachs is there.
So
so the Biden administration is, according to this article of NBC News, the Biden administration is pressuring U.S. corporations not to attend the event. You really want to make these people mad. What is the Biden administration doing? If it's not incompetence, it is a deliberate strategy to anger the Saudis so that they can end the petrodollar and then the Federal Reserve can bring out its CBDC. Those are the only options I see, Doc. Total buffoonery or a nefarious plan to end the U.S. dollar and bring out a digital dollar. Pick one. Which one do you like? Which one do you want?
You're cut either way,
either
right?
Either way. I want to go down to the next one. This is a very serious story that came out today in the Evening Standard in London. Defense Secretary Ben Wallace on emergency trip to the United States.
Right, and this had to do with the Ukraine security concerns. The Defense Secretary made an emergency trip to the U.S. to discuss Ukraine, including the threat of a nuclear attack. Ben Wallace canceled his appearance in front of the Commons Defense Committee on Tuesday and flew to the U.S. for summits in the Pentagon and White House. Armed Forces Minister James Heapy said Mr. Wallace was meeting with his U.S. counterpart for the sort of conversations that are beyond belief, really. Think about that. The fact that we are at a time when these sorts of conversations are necessary. A defense source said the defense secretary is in Washington, D.C. to discuss shared security concerns, including Ukraine.
Wait a minute. Great Britain's Armed Forces Minister James Heapy said that Britain's defense minister, Mr. Wallace, was meeting with his counterpart in the Pentagon, that would be Lloyd Austin.
Right.
For conversations that are beyond belief. What kind of conversations do you have in the Pentagon that are beyond belief?
The actual use of nuclear weapons. That's what it's got to be. Or some other kind of weaponry. Things are ramping up really quick here.
Wow.
Armed Forces Minister James Heapy acknowledged to broadcaster Sky News that such collaboration has been a concern within the Ministry of Defense for years. Our counterintelligence people have been looking at it closely, he said. This is based on another story here I see.
By mistake. We'll talk about it in a minute.
But the idea here, though, is here you have the Defense Minister of the U.K. called out of regular session with the Commons Defense Committee. And coming to the U.S. on short notice, things are happening in a big way.
An emergency meeting.
Right.
At the same time that his boss, the new Prime Minister, Liz Truss, is barely holding on to power. Barely. And by the way, I'm not qualified to make predictions about British politics, but I'm going to make one anyhow. If Liz Truss is removed, I would think Ben Wallace is probably at the top of the list to become the new prime minister.
They've certainly tossed that name out there. They've also considered the possibility of bringing Boris back.
I know, but they're talking about nuclear war.
Yes, that's right.
They're talking about nuclear war.
So you need
right
a wartime prime minister.
Yes, yes. Remember, she promised to push the button. That's how she got the job.
Right.
She promised to push the button. Ben Wallace is the defense minister. He is the Secretary of Defense of the British government. If you're going into war, most likely that's the guy King Charles is going to nod and say, I want him. I don't think they're going to bring back Bojo. Not when you're going to nuclear war. You got to get really serious. You want somebody who can't comb his hair, leading a nuclear war? They're going to bring in Mr. Wallace. That's my prediction. Izvestia, the Pentagon called the conditions for the use of nuclear weapons. I saw this story about 2 hours ago. And I'm like, okay, I got to translate this one. I got to see what the Russians are saying. The Pentagon spoke about the conditions for the use of nuclear weapons. And so the Russian paper said that the spokesperson for the United States Air Force held a press conference today in the Pentagon and was asked about how and when the U.S. would use its nuclear weapons. So we went to work and we found the video.
Now, you're not seeing this on any of our outlets here,
nowhere,
are you?
Nowhere. That's front page in Russia today. In the last couple hours, that's the front page number one story in Russia. U.S. Air Force Brigadier General Patrick Ryder outlined how and when the United States would use nuclear weapons against Russia. Yeah, that's the front page in Russia right now, the number one headline. Is it in U.S.? Can you watch it on Fox News? Can you see it on MSNBC tonight?
No.
But you see it and hear it on True News. This is the number one source, the most definitive, authoritative source in the world for World War III news. You need to tell your friends. Tell your family. World War III has already started. And it is True News that is on top of it. And if you want to know where we're at right now in World War III, you've got to watch True News. So let's go back to this Izvestia article. So it says that the Pentagon outlined the use of weapons. So we're going to show you now a clip from the press conference held today, featuring U.S. Air Force Brigadier General Patrick Ryder, and he was asked a question about the use of nuclear weapons against Russia.
Putin to date has never taken nuclear weapons off the table. His rhetoric continues, and he's never said that it's off the table. So, what reassurance can the Pentagon give the American people that it is completely ready to deal with a nuclear scenario from Russia?
Yeah, so we are completely ready. I will tell you that. We continue to monitor the situation very closely. As Secretary Austin and others have said, this kind of nuclear saber rattling is reckless. It's irresponsible, particularly given the security situation in that region of the world and elsewhere. And so it's something we'll continue to keep a close eye on. In the meantime, we have not seen anything that would indicate that Russia has made a decision to employ nuclear weapons. Others have communicated that there would be consequences, but I'm not going to get into what those were other than to say that we stand the watch 24/7 and would be prepared if we had to respond.
And very briefly, given the fact that NATO is, including the U.S., is doing a nuclear deterrence exercise in Europe this very week, when you say fully ready, can you say whether the United States is fully planned out and ready with the allies in Europe?
So I'm not going to get into hypothetical situations because, we maintain a very robust strategic deterrence capability and have for many, many years. We work very closely with our allies throughout the world to provide deterrence. And I'll just leave it at that. But thank you, Barbara.
So you said we're fully ready.
Completely ready.
Completely ready. If you notice, General Ryder repeatedly looked down at his notes. He was answering her question as he looked at his notes. What that tells me, Doc, is the question was staged.
Right.
She was told to ask that question. He had the answer. The answer was already written out. Somebody in the Pentagon wanted
that question asked.
Yes.
So that answer could be given.
Yes. That they're ready, completely ready.
Thank you, Barbara, for the question.
Yes. And now it's on the front page of the Russian newspapers tonight.
But once again, any outlet here in the U.S., you're not going to see this video tonight.
Not at all.
If you do, I would be surprised or shocked.
Most of what goes on in national television news in America is a clown show. It really is. It's a clown show. You know, even some of the more serious TV news commentators and, you know, part of their shows will be game shows. Have you ever watched it?
Yes.
They'll do game shows.
Yes.
They'll do trivia questions.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there going, we're on the edge of World War III, and you're doing trivia? Why? Oh, because you're killing time and selling advertising and not telling the American people what's really happening. Meanwhile, we're here at True News. We work day and night with the meager resources that we have, donated by the viewers like you, to keep us going. And we don't have the $1 billion a year that CNN has or Fox News. Billion. Each one of those networks, they have $1 billion a year for expenses.
And that's not a number we pull out of the air. No. That's an actual number.
How do you spend $1 billion a year on a news channel? How? Those numbers don't make sense, Doc. Anyhow, that's what they have, $1 billion, okay? But we're faithful, and we stay faithful to the work that the Lord has given us. And that is to tell you that World War III has already started, and your only refuge is in Christ. There's no place on the planet to go to hide. You have to go to Christ. You have to hide in Jesus Christ. He is the only safe place that you can take refuge. Next story. This is Russia's Novosti News Service. Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister. Look at this, folks.
Yes.
Lavrov said today, Russia sees no point in maintaining its former presence in Europe. In other words, we're done with Europe. We're going to close our embassies. And we're not talking to Europe anymore.
We'll talk to people that want to work with us.
But that also means we're not selling you anything.
Right.
We're not selling you oil or gas or corn or fertilizer or fur hats. Nothing. We're done. Let's read what he said.
So Moscow sees no point maintaining its former presence in the West, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said at a meeting with university graduates accepted into the diplomatic service. He said, quote, it makes no sense and there's no desire to maintain the same presence in Western countries. Our people work in conditions that can hardly be called human. Stop any economic cooperation. You won't be forced to be nice, the minister said. Now, according to Mr. Lavrov, the countries of Asia, Africa, Latin America, on the contrary, need additional attention. He noted that many plans are now being coordinated at the highest and high levels for which diplomatic support is needed. This is support for business, joint cultural, humanitarian, educational projects, the minister specified. Mr. Lavrov stressed that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs is now carrying out a geographical reorientation of its activities both abroad and in the central office. Russian diplomacy will shift the center of gravity to countries that are ready to cooperate with Moscow on an equal and mutually beneficial basis and look for promising joint projects. I don't know if our audience really understands the significance of this. This is seismic. Right?
It's super seismic, Doc. I mean, look, we started with Saudi Arabia telling the United States president today, we started this kingdom with jihad. You mess with us, we're going to give you a dose of it. What in the world did Joe Biden do to infuriate a longtime ally that they're making statements like this? This is the grandson of the king of Saudi Arabia.
Right. And then you have the Russian foreign minister saying, you know what? We're just going to shut down the embassies, the diplomatic consulates in the West, the U.S., the U.K., all over Europe. Why? Because you guys think we're subhuman right now.
And you treat us that way.
And so we'll just go. We're celebrated and not tolerated.
That's right. That's literally what he's saying. And he said this, Doc. He was speaking to students of the Russian Foreign Service.
Yes, that are graduating, going into diplomacy. Yes.
So what he said to them today is, if your dream was to become an ambassador to a Western nation, to work in the embassy of France or Italy, the United States or Canada or Australia, forget it.
We're reorienting the whole.
But there's going to be great opportunities in Latin America, in Asia, in the Caribbean. There's going to be all kinds of opportunities. That's what he's saying to these people.
Right.
He said, we're shifting the center of gravity. The gravity of what? Of the world geopolitical balance of power. Doc, they're going to do something. What he's saying is, we're not arguing with the West anymore. We're not fighting with the West anymore.
We're just going to quit talking to you.
We're going to ignore you. We're going to completely ignore the West. We're going to act like you don't exist. That's what he's saying. And he knows more than what he's saying right now.
Sure.
Because I think they have a long list of countries lining up to join the BRICS and the new world order. So you're going to have two world orders in the coming decades, starting in 2023. I mean, it's already happening right now. But you're going to see in 2023 a competing new world order that will compete with the new world order of the West, because the old new world order is dead. And they're trying to, Klaus Schwab and his gang, they're trying to get a new world order going. The Russians and others are now going to create a Eastern new world order. And the two are going to compete for the big prize, which is domination of the world. The good part of this is globalization is dead for a while. It's been put to sleep. How long? I don't know. Could it be decades? Possible. We may go decades that there's no globalization. That's a good thing. Eventually, one side is going to lose out
right.
to the other side. One's going to become dominant. And this is why we're moving towards a nuclear war, because the dying Western New World Order, gasping for breath, gasping for air, is willing to start a nuclear war to hold on to power. And the Russians know it. And they're prepared for it. But I think they're convinced they're going to get through this without a shootout. I think their strategy is to outlive the United States and the West. I think they believe the West is collapsing and they just have to hold their powder dry and not fire the nukes, and watch the USA crumble. Because we're crumbling as a country. We're imploding as a nation. Our society is in implosion right now.
We're actually multiple nations here in our country. We have different factions that are doing everything except shooting each other. Mm-hmm. And we're starting to do that too. Yes. So, and the rest of the world looks in on us and they see this happening. Things have to drastically change here in the U.S. if we're to compete in this new paradigm that's being rolled out.
When you look at the total insanity of what the ruling class has done to the American society, I'm talking about the obliteration of moral values, the introduction of extreme immoral values, the mutilation of children, the sexual perversion, the pornography, the political correctness, the cancel culture, the hatred that the ruling class has unleashed in America. There is no solution for it. There's no solution, Doc, except total submission to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one who could bring order and renewal to American society. But this, our present society has collapsed. We're watching it fall into, you know, into a sinkhole. You're not going to stop it right now. There's going to have to be a new society built in the United States from scratch. Something totally new. And Lavrov and others are watching this from a distance, and they're saying, you know what, we're done talking to you people. We're not arguing with you. We're not even going to answer your phone call. You know, the most, the thing that will infuriate your enemy the most is simply ignore him. Or you just stop arguing. Right. You know what? I'm not replying to your email. I'm not taking your calls. I'm not answering your letters. I'm not doing anything. You're a zero. And that's what Lavrov is saying to the United States and Europe. You're a big zero. We're moving on. Meanwhile, you got Joseph Borrell saying, Europe is the garden and the rest of the world is a jungle, and we've got to go out there and get control of that jungle before it takes over and invades our garden. No, you're the jungle now. And the rest of the world is becoming a garden. It's just the opposite.
Right.
And yet the leaders of the West think they've deceived themselves into thinking that they're a garden. And the rest of the world is going, if that's a garden, I don't want in it. You know, they're shunning it. And so our worst judgment, I mean, we are in judgment right now.
Yes, we are.
We are in judgment. We're in judgment right now. God's already unleashed judgment on the United States of America. We're witnessing it. Well, let's go on with this. The next one, this is Zelensky's Twitter account. I've not seen this. He said there's no, this is number, this is a video. Okay,
yes. So
all right, I haven't seen it. I'll watch it with you for the first time. Let's see what Mr. Zelensky, the world's number one most influential Jew, according to the Jerusalem Post, let's see what he says.
Upon the request of Russia's Ministry of Defense, we launched a mass missile strike targeting Ukraine's energy, military, and logistics sectors. On October 10th, Russia launched another massive attack on civilian objects across Ukraine. The aim of the attack is reached. All of the targets are hit. Over just one day, 84 missiles and 24 munition drones killed 19 Ukrainians.
So the message from Putin is one of terror.
And destroyed 30% of Ukraine's power stations and critical infrastructure, causing massive blackouts across the country. The barrages came soon after Russia offered peace talks. We urged the Kyiv regime to sit at the negotiations table with us. He says this, meanwhile launching 100 missiles hitting the center of Kyiv. Moscow is suing for peace while breaching international laws. And the world reacted. On October 13th, Pace brands Russia's political regime as terrorist. Terrorists could be neutralized only through defeat. Terrorism is a crime to be punished. Talks with Russia are possible only after its defeat.
So basically, say there's no room for negotiations at this point.
Right.
We will not negotiate with Russia until Russia is defeated.
Let's see how that works out. A country that has no nukes is dictating to a country with 6,000 nukes.
And keep that in mind, even though this was published on Zelensky's Twitter account, he did confess to something, that Russia took out 30% of Ukraine's energy grid in one day.
Yesterday.
One day. Just one day.
It was yesterday.
So what could they do in 2 days if they decided to? Or 3 days?
Well, in 3 days at that rate, there would be no energy left in the country.
So I think it can be said that Russia, when it puts its mind to it, can do what it wants to do and can deliver destruction if it needs to.
What I want to know is, how does Zelensky have time to produce those videos?
Well, between writing books now and, not as many celebrities are going to Ukraine right now because they're blowing things up.
Has he released a line of designer T-shirts yet? I'm just waiting for the Zelensky monogram on a T-shirt. Where does he come up with the time to do all this stuff? He's running a war, right? Doc, is something not right about this? I don't think he's in Ukraine. I think he's in London. I really do. I think he's in London.
I wouldn't doubt it at all.
I do not believe he's in Ukraine. Next one, Reuters. Ukraine to get anti-drone system in coming days, according to NATO's Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg.
So, addressing a security conference in Berlin, NATO Chief Jens Stoltenberg said the answer to the attacks, the Russian attacks on Ukraine, was for the Allies to step up their deliveries of air defense systems. The most important thing we can do is deliver on what Allies have promised, to step up and deliver even more air defense systems. NATO will, in the coming days, he says, not weeks or months, but in the coming days, deliver counter-drone systems to counter the specific threat of drones, including those from Iran. Now, NATO will deliver air defense systems to Ukraine in the coming days to help the country defend itself against the drones, and especially those from Iran that Russia is using to target critical infrastructure, the alliance's Secretary General said on Tuesday. And so now we're seeing, once again, this being stepped up. But it's interesting they said that in the coming days, which means that they already have them on standby, ready to be delivered.
Okay. How are they going to get them in to Ukraine?
Well, now that's a great question.
FedEx?
Right?
UPS? How are they taking it in? They got to take them to Poland. And then Poland has got to get them across the border.
Right.
If Poland transports them into Ukraine, it makes Poland an enemy combatant. It makes Poland a party to a war. It makes NATO a party to the war, but Poland becomes a direct participant in the war. The general that's running the Russian army, I just know him, General Apocalypse, I forget his name. I don't think he's going to let these anti-drone weapons get 5 miles into Ukraine.
No, I agree with you, because that changes everything for the Russians, doesn't it?
He can't allow them to be. I mean, is the Pentagon going to drop them with parachutes? How are they going to get them in there? They're a target the moment they cross the border. The Russians don't have any choice other than to blow them up. I mean, go after them, totally go after them. Would the Russians hit them in Poland? We're that close, Doc. We're that close. Would the Russians attack Poland?
To prevent the delivery of air defense system.
Yes.
Well, if that happens, all bets are off. You know that.
We go back to the earlier story that the Pentagon has a plan for nuclear war. That's where we were at that stage. Well, next one, Doc, I don't know. I haven't seen this one, the tweet from Ukraine's Minister of Foreign Affairs.
Basically, their version of Secretary of State, and he's responding to Jens Stoltenberg's statement. He says, I welcome this statement on planning to deliver anti-drone air defense systems to Ukraine in the coming days. This is just what we discussed and requested. For Ukraine, this means more saved lives and better protected energy infrastructure. Thank you, NATO. And so Ukraine gets anything it wants, Rick.
Of course. Zelensky, according to the Jerusalem Post, is the most influential Jew in the world, number one. That's the Jerusalem Post. This is his war. Need I say anything else? This is the Khazaria Empire coming back into existence. It's Greater Khazaria. He gets the money. Billions, tens of billions of dollars. With no accountability.
None.
And leading the world to nuclear war. And there's no accountability. Why? Because he is the world's most influential Jew, according to the Jerusalem Post. Just ponder that statement. Why are we on the verge of nuclear war? I just told you. The Washington Post reported that Iran plans to send missiles and drones to Russia for Ukraine war. Now, for the record, the Iranians said, no, we haven't sold any drones to Russia. I don't know who is telling the truth. I don't know. The Washington Post says that they have U.S. intelligence sources that say Iran is sending missiles now, not just drones.
Drones, right.
Now,
that's the change in the story.
Iran's got a lot of missiles, a lot. And if this is true, then this is a game changer. But we got a couple quotes from the Washington Post article.
Well, according to the Post, Iran is strengthening its commitment to supply arms for Russia's assault in Ukraine. That's according to U.S. and allied security officials, secretly agreeing to send not only attack drones, but also what some officials described as the first Iranian-made surface-to-surface missiles intended for use against Ukrainian cities and troop positions. An intelligence assessment shared in recent days with Ukrainian and U.S. officials contends that Iran's armaments industry is preparing a first shipment of Fata-110s and Zafar missiles, two well-known Iranian short-range ballistic missiles capable of striking targets at distances of 300 and 700 kilometers. Two officials briefed on the matter said, if carried out, it would be the first delivery of such missiles to Russia since the start of the war. So this, once again, as Rick was saying, this changes the element within the theater here.
So now Iran, let's say that this article is correct. Iran is now involved in the Ukraine war. The next article, Times of Israel, as Russia turns to Iranian made drones, Kiev, to request Israeli air defense help.
So a day after Moscow attacked energy and infrastructure sites across Ukraine with kamikaze drones, Ukraine's foreign minister, Dmytro Kuleba, that was the one that we had the tweet earlier, said his country plans to submit a formal request to Israel asking for immediate air defense assistance. He said, given the amount of destruction Iranian drones have caused to Ukrainian civilian infrastructure, the deaths and injuries caused to our people, as well as the possible continuation of Iran's supply of weapons to Russia, I submitted a proposal to break off diplomatic ties with Iran to the Ukrainian president, Kuleba said in a Facebook video.
He said, Doc, if these stories are correct, that Iran is selling weapons, missiles, and drones to Russia, and Israel is selling anti-air defense systems to Ukraine, or not selling, but giving them. Ukraine doesn't buy anything.
Right.
They got a card that they get anything they want. But if
right.
these stories are true, then both Iran and Israel have become targets in World War III, both countries. They're not in Eastern Europe, but they are now legitimate targets for both sides in World War III. The West can claim a justification to bomb Iran.
And they've been
looking Russia
for
can
it.
Claim a justification to bomb Israel. Do you see how fast this thing is spinning out of control? We're now taking in other countries now. We're now taking in the Middle East. Plus, we have the Saudis lining up with Russia. Doc, is it out of the question that a few months from now, if we don't go nuclear in the next 2-3 months, Saudi Arabia may be in the war? The way this is going?
And to think U.S. policy over the past, especially over the past 5 years, has been pushing Saudi Arabia in opposition against Iran. Now,
what
we may
they
have
team
a whole
up?
New a new alliance here
yes.
between Saudi Arabia and Iran. I mean, they're yes. already partners in OPEC.
Yes.
They're already, Iran's trying to get into BRICS, too.
That's true. That's true. Very good point. So what if all of a sudden the Iranians and the Saudis, as you say, say, you know what?
We're brothers.
Yeah. The Iranians are Persians.
Well.
Okay. But they're both Muslims.
Right.
What if they say, you know what, let's stop fighting among ourselves. Let's fight the West. Let's create a new world order. And let's join forces. That could easily happen. We've lost the Saudis as an ally.
Yeah, I don't see how we recover from that at all.
This next story, I came across this story, and I could only, earlier today, I could only find Bloomberg News as the only source reporting it. I went to Turkish newspapers. There's not a word published. Turkey said to test fire secretly built ballistic missile.
Yes.
What is this about, Doc?
Well, let's get into the Bloomberg article here. Turkey test fired a locally made short-range ballistic missile over the Black Sea on Tuesday, according to two people familiar with the matter. A mobile platform was used to fire the missile from an airport near the port city of Rize at about 7 o'clock in the morning, said the people who asked to remain anonymous because they aren't authorized to comment. The projectile flew 350 miles before falling off the coast of the port of Sinope. The furthest any such weapon developed in the country has traveled, they said. Now, the secretive missile project dubbed Typhoon, or Typhoon in Turkish, has been underway for several years, the people said without elaborating. The Defense Industry Presidency, which oversees the development of locally made weapons, refused to divulge any information about the project. Now, Turkey took delivery of an advanced S-400 missile defense system made by Russia, a top NATO foe, in 2019, 2 years after Ankara signed an agreement with Moscow to buy the system in the hope that the cooperation could help it develop its own ballistic missile defense program. And so now, Rick, Turkey is in the ballistic missile game, fully yes. into it now.
Could Turkey join BRICS?
Oh, you know, Turkey could go either way.
Yes.
I mean, and they have over the past few years that we've watched. One day they're with Russia, the next day they're with NATO. They have their foot in, you know, in both sides of the divide there across the Bosphorus Strait. And so it's going to be, but see that they've developed ballistic missile technology on their own, locally made. Once again, this is another escalation that's in the region. Who are the enemies of Turkey that Turkey would want to eliminate? There's already conflict going on between Armenia and Azerbaijan. There are a whole bunch of conflicts that are taking place even right now
right.
that no one talks about on the mainstream news.
Doc, this next story, we have the CBS News version. It was first reported today by BBC in London. United Kingdom trying to stop China from recruiting ex-pilots.
Yes.
To understand the capabilities of Britain's Air Force.
So the story is that China has been recruiting Royal Air Force pilots to come and train against Chinese pilots. That's the gist of the story there.
But what kind of loyalty do those British pilots have to their country?
Well, $250,000 a year can buy different brands of loyalty, Rick. And that's the price tag, by the way. The UK government said on Tuesday it was taking decisive steps against a Chinese recruitment effort to bring in former and serving British Air Force pilots to train its military personnel. Now, while British military personnel frequently take part in training exercises with foreign armies, any collusion by ex-pilots with China, which London has dubbed the number one threat to domestic and global security, poses a serious problem.
Yeah, hey, let's jump down, Doc, to number 35. I got a lot of things I want to cover before we leave here. But I mean, that last story is mind-boggling in itself. That China is poaching military pilots from Great Britain.
Yes.
And saying, hey, teach us how you fly your military planes. we're going to go to war with you guys. We want to know how you fly.
Yes.
Okay. And British pilots are doing it for the money. And so the Chinese realize Westerners, well, you can buy them. They'll sell out. So this next one is Financial Times in London, National Grid. That's the agency that runs the power grid of Great Britain. Warns Britons of blackouts on, of all times, Doc, really cold nights. Well, if you're going to do a blackout.
Yeah, wait till the cold nights for it.
Yeah, pick the cold nights to do it.
National Grid's chief exec has warned British households to prepare for blackouts between 4 and 7 p.m. on really, really cold weekdays in January and February in the event of reduced gas imports from Europe. John Pettigrew said the company would have to impose rolling power cuts on those deepest, darkest evenings in January and February if generators failed to secure enough gas from the continent to meet demand, particularly if the country suffers a cold snap, and they're going to. Pettigrew's comments at the Financial Times Energy Transition Summit came after National Grid, which oversees Britain's electricity and gas systems, this month took the unusual step of setting out various unlikely scenarios in which Britain might not have sufficient energy supplies this winter. Pettigrew said that in National Grid's unchanged base case, there would be sufficient gas and power to meet demand in Britain this winter. But he added, in the context of the terrible things that are going on in the Ukraine and the consequences of that, it was right that we set out what some of the potential risks might be. So keep in mind, too, even though you've got this problem, they're not really telling the whole story. Most of the nuclear power plants in the UK were built by who, Rick? China.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got Chinese generators. They've got Chinese reactors. They've got Chinese personnel in those power plants. And yet, in the previous article, we saw that China is the number one threat to the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So, in an extended conflict here, the dynamics of situations are going to change rapidly. And not only lose gas, but lose electricity, too. So,
Also Financial Times, Europe at risk of much worse energy crisis next year, warns Qatar.
So they're already talking about next year now, Rick. Qatar's energy minister has warned that while Europe should have sufficient gas for power and heating this winter, the tougher challenge will come in 2023 as reserves are depleted. Saad al-Kaabi said it would be much worse next year if there was a harsh winter, adding that the energy crisis could extend to the middle of the decade if President Vladimir Putin's war in Ukraine continued and gas does not start flowing back again from Russia. Well, folks, gas is not going to start flowing back again from Russia. You blow up pipelines.
It can't flow back. It's impossible. The pipelines are blown up. And did you see Sweden won't let anybody see the results of
the
investigation?
Right.
They're so sensitive, they can't talk about it. You know what that means? We can't tell you who blew it up. We know. We went down there to see. We saw it. But we can't talk about it. But we know that the Russians did it. But we can't talk about it. I mean, they're still continuing with the Russia blew up the pipeline, and yet they're concealing the evidence. Well, if you had the evidence,
right,
and you knew Russia did it, wouldn't you want the whole world to see that the Russians did it?
Even if you made it up.
Yes. No, they can't do it because the West did it. The Anglo-Saxons blew it up. So you're right, Doc. They're not going to get the Russian gas back to Europe. I've been watching this and trying to monitor, what's taking place in Europe with gas supplies. A number of the news reports are saying, Doc, that the European countries have filled their reserves.
Right.
Their tanks are just running over. They've got more gas than they can use. They're there. They've got it. They're going to be okay. That's what they're saying. And yet, at the same time, they're still buying. So, I don't know. And the other thing to watch is what the weather forecast is, the long-range weather forecast for Europe for this winter. I'm seeing reports saying that forecasters are saying it's going to be a milder winter than expected.
But wetter. And that makes a difference, too, across the continent. Mm-hmm. So, and there are other factors at play, too. You've got cargo ships that are backing up. And some of those cargo ships are actually sitting out there on purpose, waiting for fuel costs to rise so they can sell their fuel at higher rates later on.
Yes. We got this number 43. This is a Marine Link. And this is actually a Reuters story. Dozens of liquefied natural gas carriers lined off Europe's coast, unable to unload.
Now, in some of those cases, where they normally unload, it's backed up, it's full.
Right.
And so they're using the ships as holding tanks, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But in other ports, the tankers are sitting purposely offshore.
Waiting for what?
Waiting for energy prices to go up.
Waiting for the winter.
Yes. Where they can then sell their fuel at a much, much higher rate and make much, much more money.
I don't want to propose this, but in a war, Doc, does not that big ship look like a target?
I mean, it's bright orange. You could probably see it in the dark from the looks of it.
I mean, drones hitting these things. If they have these tankers sitting in the seas waiting on the winter to get to higher prices, what does a fleet of drones do to them? Can you imagine the explosion from these things if a drone hits it? And then it's December, it's January, and the gas that they thought that they had sitting there to be sold at a high price in January suddenly is in a giant fireball in the sea. That's what happens in a world war. Those are targets. This is getting worse every day. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. Again, General Armageddon, whatever his name is in Russia, the new General Blood and Guts guy, he said today that the situation in Ukraine is very tense. And it was a very grim report to the Russian people about what's taking place in Ukraine. He talked about grinding. He actually used the word grind. He talked about grinding the Ukrainian troops, that they were methodically grinding them. And he said they were killing 600 to 1,000 Ukrainian troops per day as they grind through them. It's gory. It is chilling. Only guys that have been in war know what that's like. But what he was describing, when you hear a general say it's very tense, you know that the situation is getting worse. And what he said was that the Russian intelligence had information that Ukraine was going to launch missile strikes into Kherson, the breakaway province.
Right.
That they're going to retaliate and hit Kherson with missiles. And he also talked about that they had intelligence that the Iranians were going to bomb a hydroelectric dam and flood cities in those breakaway provinces. Now, again, that could be Russian propaganda. It also could be accurate intelligence. But he said the situation is very tense today. You know what I hear out of that? Eventually, they're going to use tactical nukes. At some point, Doc, General Blood and Guts is going to call the Kremlin and say, I need you to give me permission. I need to hit Ukraine with tactical nukes. That's what I'm hearing. It's getting worse by the day, more intense. Just NATO bringing the anti-air defense, drone systems in the next couple of days. Russia's going to pulverize them.
Yes.
They
have no option but to pulverize.
That's going to happen in the next couple of days. What is today? Tuesday? By Friday. Just wait until Friday's true news. Come back Friday and see what we're talking about. I want to go down to, I'm just going to touch on this briefly, DW News, German cybersecurity chief fired over alleged Russian ties. Probably wouldn't want your cybersecurity chief to be connected to the Russians right now. So that's a big news story in Germany today. Let's see, what do we have here? Final story. This is number 50. I get this from a, I don't know if this is a Russian or a...
It's a Belarus.
Belarus. Okay, yeah, okay. So this guy, this gentleman here is the head of the Belarusian KGB. Their FBI, CIA, whatever. And he was talking about how the West plans to bring Belarus into the war.
Right.
Belarus is expecting an invasion. That's what they expect. But the part that I want our audience to see and hear
is who they're targeting.
Yeah. That they plan to. They plan to go after the youth of Belarus and basically warp their minds, pervert their minds, and move them away from traditional Christian morality and accept Western immorality. Wow.
Yes, just like they do everywhere else.
Have we seen that anywhere, like the United States of America? They did it to us, Doc.
They overthrew the American government.
They overthrew America. You got to understand this. The people in running this war overthrew America. They destabilized America. Look at the mess we are in right now. So we'll get a little bit of video of him talking. And this is what he said. The goal does not change. The change of power in the Republic of Belarus as an attempt to change the geopolitical orientation through all channels, they are trying to break all relations between Belarus and the Russian Federation. He goes on to say, one of the tasks of the fugitives, he calls them fugitives, I think he meant criminals here, could be in the translation, is to involve young people in destructive actions. There will be attempts to cause a protest among students.
Yes.
So, in other words, a collar revolution in Belarus.
Right.
And he's indicating it will be over an increase in tuition prices. So what he's insinuating is a CIA and MI6.
They already have a plan of action in place to start a revolution within Belarus.
Over the increase in college tuition prices,
right,
to get riots going as the beginning of an invasion. What did they do to us in 2020? Black Lives Matter, Antifa.
Yes.
And the government did nothing.
Right. Let them burn. They
let them burn the cities. The people in charge. Donald Trump had no power. He was the president of the United States. He had no power. They refused to listen to him. They refused to follow his instructions, his orders. They took down the president of the United States. And that's what they're doing to Putin. Now they're doing it to Belarus. It's the same people. The same people that shut down the schools, gave us COVID vaccines, gave us COVID passports, took away our rights and our liberties, made you wear a mask, made you wear two masks, made children wear masks in public schools for 2 years. It's the same people. They're the ones running this war.
Yes.
And their war is against Christian morality. That's the war. What they're bringing to Western civilization is satanic. It is absolutely satanic. It is birthed in hell itself. These are so-called Western values. I reject them.
Absolutely.
Man, we're not fighting for Western values. I'm fighting against these values. They're horrible. They're against God. They're against the human race. They're against the laws of nature. And that's why Christians need to oppose it. Oppose it in prayer. Oppose it spiritually. Oppose it in every way. And stop giving support to this war. This war's got to stop. It has to come to an end. Let's pray. Let's pray as we close for today. Gracious Father, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus against the enemies of our souls. These people who have seized power in America and other Western nations, they are enemies of our souls. They are servants of Satan. They are not patriots of this nation. They are not loyal to our nation. They are not loyal to the European nations. They are loyal to Satan. And we oppose them, Father. We rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask you, Father, to bring their plans to dust. But spare your people, Father.
Yes.
Somehow, Father, bring down this evil regime and spare your people and liberate your people from the oppression that these Satanists have brought upon us and seek to impose on the rest of the world. Father, we plead for your involvement. Strengthen those who honor you, who obey you, who keep your commandments. And Father, bring peace to the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
God's
friends,
bigger.
That's right. My friends, please tell your family, your friends, your coworkers, tell everybody on social media that you're connected to that True News is the number one source for information about World War III. Please tell them, World War III is not coming. It started last February. We're 9 months into World War III. It's on. And we're dangerously close to the use of nuclear weapons. Tell your friends to watch True News, that they need to hear the real story about what is going on in the world. God willing, Doc and I will be back here. You notice, I have to say now, God willing, we'll be back here tomorrow. Because, Doc, we don't have assurance we'll be back here tomorrow.
Yeah, we don't.
You don't have assurance that you're going to be here tomorrow. We're that close to nuclear war. We're living every day by the grace of God. So make sure you live it the right way. Start each day praising Him and thanking Him. Give thanks and praise to Him throughout the day. Testify, tell people about Him. This may be the very last time you get a chance to tell somebody that Jesus Christ is King. We love you very much. We'll see you tomorrow.
God bless you.